today in the Garden of Gethsemane. The disciples and Jesus have just celebrated the Last Supper, and now they go out for a walk at night to the Garden of Gethsemane. So we pick up the story here in Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 36. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then Jesus said to them, "I am deeply grieved even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, Jesus went away for the second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." Again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, Jesus went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh, Jesus, help us to find ourselves with you in this story. Help us to be faithful as your followers. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. They went to the Garden of Gethsemane after the Last Supper. And we learn from Luke chapter 22 that this was their custom, something that they used to do, to go out on an evening stroll after dinner, to walk in the Garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives. They'd done it before. But this night was not like any other night. But the disciples didn't really understand that. And I wonder if we read this story, how we might find ourselves with Jesus in this text, if we were to look for where our experience is here. The disciples sometimes didn't understand what Jesus was trying to communicate to them. And we can understand that because Jesus often said things that were kind of confusing. He talked about if you want to save your life, you have to lose it. He would talk about weeds and seeds, and yet it was never really about weeds or seeds when Jesus talked about weeds and seeds. And so sometimes they missed out on what it was that Jesus was trying to explain. Jesus had even said to them, sitting there at the table during the Last Supper, "I will not eat of this again. I will not drink of this until I drink it with you anew in the kingdom." It was something they remembered later, but didn't really understand in the moment. And maybe that's where we find ourselves, struggling to understand what it is that Jesus is calling forth from us, what it means to be a follower of Jesus, what he wants from us, how we read the scripture about following Jesus and laying down our life and picking up a cross. It's not an easy week to be a Christian as we read these stories that lead us into Jerusalem with Jesus, that lead us closer to the cross. Maybe sometimes we read these things and we find ourselves afraid. And the disciples could have been afraid too. In just a few hours As things transpire in the story, Jesus is going to be arrested. He's going to have a sham of a trial. He's going to be put to death. And we read that the disciples were frightened. They went and hid. They thought maybe they would be arrested next. Peter denies even knowing Jesus. They don't know what's going to happen. Maybe they will die too, and they are afraid. And how many times do we find ourselves afraid in life? We get afraid for a loved one. We could be afraid for Jesus here. It's hard to watch Jesus suffering. I can understand why we have some people who love to come to church on Christmas Eve, and it's all about the baby Jesus and God come to earth in human form. We love that story. And then we see them back again on Easter Sunday when we have an empty tomb and Easter lilies and pancakes for breakfast. It's a wonderful day. And then we don't see them again for a while. And why do we come to church all these Sundays in between Christmas and Easter? Because there's a whole lot of living that we do between birth and death, between baptism and resurrection. And sometimes it's in this stuff in the middle where we find out who we are and what God is calling forth from us, how we can give the best of ourselves to life and discipleship. It's where we struggle in our relationship with Jesus. It's where we find him when we need him most. And so the disciples didn't really know what to expect. And sometimes when we're facing something scary in life, we're afraid for a loved one. We face difficulties like change in job or loss of eyesight or loss of hearing or the death of a loved one or a serious illness, and we don't know what's going to happen, and we pray. We ask God to meet us in it. We want God to take away whatever scary thing it is. But we're afraid that perhaps God won't answer that prayer just the way that we ask it, just the way that we want God to. So perhaps we're clueless here like the disciples. Perhaps we're afraid like the disciples. And Jesus takes these 11. Judas has gone out on a fatal errand. He takes the 11 and they go for a walk in the Mount of Olives. And then he lets the rest of them sit there and he takes just Peter, James, and John off a little further. There's another time, isn't there, where Jesus takes just Peter, James, and John. They go up a mountain for the transfiguration. There's this powerful experience where Moses and Elijah are there and God speaks. It's a mysterious time of strengthening Jesus and focusing him on what lies ahead in ministry. So here Jesus takes Peter, James, and John again, and he gives them a job. He says, stay awake and pray. And then Jesus goes a little further by himself, and he throws himself down on the dirt. And he prays this prayer, Father, take this cup away from me. You found yourself there at times, have you not? Facing something challenging or difficult or heartbreaking, and we just want God to make it all better and take it all away. Jesus prays. It says even in verse 37, literally it says, he began to be sorrowing and depressing. Now we've known about Jesus that he could be sorrowful because when he met at the grave, Mary and Martha, the grave of Lazarus, he wept. So we know Jesus feels and he's moved and he was sad when he went to the grave of his friend Lazarus. But this word depressing, began to be sorrowing and depressing? Who knew that God incarnate could be depressed? And if you've ever struggled with depression, I hope that's a helpful word for you because God himself, Jesus, fully human, fully divine, went to the garden, threw himself on the ground, and began to be sorrowing and depressing because of what he was facing. Sometimes as Christians, we pretend we have to move really quickly from difficulty to joy. And we say some things to each other sometimes that are not always helpful, like count it all joy. Well, sometimes it's a process of moving through the difficult stuff in life. before we get to a place of acceptance and peace and joy. I knew a woman who, when she was a little girl and her mother died, meaningful, wonderful people at church, trying to be well-meaning, they said, God needed your mother in heaven. Well, what does that say to a child? A child who needs nurture, a child who needs love, a child who needs a parent. God needed your mother more than you did? Does that mean God is selfish and capricious and takes all the best mothers away and you don't get one anymore? That's not who our God is. Sometimes well-meaning Christians want to fast forward to happiness. And we forget that the prophets tell us there are things that are not right with the world. We forget that lots of the Psalms are about times of sorrowing and difficulty. We forget there's a whole book called Lamentations. And sometimes people of faith have to hang their harps up on a tree and sit down by the river and cry because exile is hard. And we cannot sing the songs of Zion in a strange and foreign land. But we'll get there one day. Jesus would get to the cross. But here in this little chapter, there is a space of tears and prayers. Take this away from me, O God. Let this cup pass from me. And sometimes you've been there with God, bargaining. Oh God, if you get us through this, if you take this away, I promise I will always fill in the blank. I promise I will never again fill in the blank. Jesus came back to see Peter and James and John, and they were asleep. And Jesus says to Peter, could you not stay awake 1 hour? Maybe that's where we find ourselves. Sometimes it's hard for us to pay attention to what God needs of us. You've been driving in the middle of the night or a long drive sometime, and you know how hard it is when you're tired and you've got miles and miles to go to stay awake. Sometimes you might be the passenger, and you're nodding off, but you wake up every once in a while, look over at the driver and say, are you okay? Just to check on the driver. You're not real helpful because you're sleeping most of the time. Well, sometimes our eyelids get heavy, sometimes our bodies get weary, and it's hard to stay awake, but it's also hard sometimes for us to pay attention to the things God wants us to pay attention to. Watch and pray. Watch for God's goodness in the world and join it. Watch for God's injustice, the injustice of the world, and join God in the justice that God needs us to do. Sometimes we forget to stay awake and pay attention as disciples to what it is that God wants of us. Peter, James, and John, and the rest of the disciples fell asleep in that time where Jesus was agonizing. And did you notice Jesus went back 3 times to pray, take this cup away from me, and then to talk to the disciples, went back again to pray the same thing, strength, if I must drink of this cup, and came back and found them sleeping again and asked them to pray. And he went back the 3rd time, but something happened that 3rd time. Jesus prayed again the same prayer, but it was not my will, but your will. And in that time of wrestling and struggling, Jesus came to strength and resolution, because when he came back that last time and found the disciples sleeping, he said, get up now, my betrayer is at hand, let's go. Jesus was ready. He'd found in the tears and in the praying, he'd found the resolve and the strength and the peace and the acceptance to face what was before him, which he knew what it was, a sham of a trial, a torturous death. And perhaps that's where we find ourselves, because obedience to God and surrender to Jesus is a process. And we might start out with no way. Take this away from me. It's too hard. And get to the point of finding God's strength and God's presence with us so that we can be the best that we can for God and for others and whatever's before us. And we can find God's strength and power and peace in front of us. I love this story because there's such power in Jesus' prayers and wrestling and coming to the point of obedience to God's will, even death on a cross. So in the few weeks and days ahead, we will get to a hill far away. We will get to an old rugged cross. But for now, for these few moments, where do you find yourself in this story of the Garden of Gethsemane? Let us pray. Oh, dear Jesus, some of us want to be along for the ride on the happy days. We love the happy days, the days of goodness and beauty, and we see you so readily in those times. And, oh God, you do call each of us to go through gardens of Gethsemane. So may we find strength in the struggle. May we find you in the difficult times. May we find your peace and your resolve, your power and your might, that we might with you also get to resurrection and power and peace. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Will you stand as we sing our closing hymn? Scout cookie season, and we invited our Girl Scouts to come and clean up all the boxes they had left. So you can buy some cookies on your way out. But if you don't want to eat the cookies, that's okay. Give the Girl Scouts the money. They are sending cookies you don't want to eat to troops. So you can help either way. Take the cookies home with you or send them off through the USO to be used for our military service personnel. And now go with the strength that you find with Jesus in your struggles. Now go with the power that God Almighty gives you. Now go with the peace that you find from the Holy Spirit. Amen.